right, welcome to the Sagebrush Shit Show. This week, we will be focusing on the US-USA elections, especially the primary announcement made just minutes ago.
Some shocking results.
Yes.
Shocking results.
There were some interesting ones, for sure. We will get to politics in the end. We'll make sure to post in the show notes exactly when that starts, if that's the only reason you're listening, if you're not an Aggie student. But let's jump into it. I want to work from the bottom up. I think that's going to be our most exciting way to do this. So graduate studies, we have Kirsten Hall, she's unopposed. Natural resources, we have Mason Kemp. Engineering, Eric Olson. Education and human services, Deidre Thomas. Again, these are all things that we already knew because these people were all running uncontested. On the vice president side, we have Megan Tatum for student events, Daria Griffith for student alumni association, our own Samuel Jackson, student advocate vice president.
Not a bad guy. Not a bad candidate. He's okay.
Kind of got crappy views. Cold takes, I've heard.
Cold takes. Wow, I've never been so insulted on this podcast.
Ooh, challenge Damn. Accepted. and the executive vice president, wow. Ali Haas, my own CHASS president. So those ones are
MIA
all
last
uncontested.
Night.
Ooh, I found out why. She thought the debate was at 7, like the one tonight.
Oh. Okay.
So she was disappointed that she couldn't make it.
Okay, all right.
She got called out pretty hard. She felt bad.
Well, okay, that's better then.
All right, let's start from science, work our way back up. So science, we have Abigail Longacre and Lucas Lehman, and then Jaden Turner didn't make it. So what do you think about this race? Got anything? You obviously are a little biased on this one.
A little, very much biased. Lucas Lehman is one of my brothers in SIGEP. I love him to death. He's an absolutely fantastic individual. He's a vice president of finance for our chapter. He's done an incredible job managing our finances. I can't speak to Abigail's credentials at all. Don't know her at all. Grant, you mentioned that Jaden Turner, he served on FIBOR the past 2 years, seemed like a good guy.
Yeah, Jaden was a really good guy. So this race was actually a little interesting. If you're listening on any of the forms of podcast, you'll see that all three of these candidates were interviewed here in the podcast studio.
That's right, they were.
With Travis Dowdle. So if you want to go listen to any of these, if you want to make a decision on this race, that's the easiest one. Lucas is a math major. Abigail, I believe, is
statistics.
Like,
sorry.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Whatever. It's in the math department.
Right.
Abigail, I believe, is biology. I'll be honest, I was pro Jaden.
Yeah.
He is now out. But I think between Abigail and Lucas, they're both equally qualified, and we'll see what happens there.
Abigail had a pretty healthy lead on the primaries, but you never know what can happen, especially one person drops out. You don't know whose votes those person's votes are going to go to. So.
No, that's what's interesting between primary and finals. Just because you won
you
the primary
know.
Doesn't
Does
mean
anything.
You're winning the finals. Yeah. I know Travis Dowdle was down in the primaries last year. He was below 50%. He pulled it ahead for that exact same race. So who's to say?
Never know what could happen.
Humanities and social sciences. That was McKenna Allred, Caden MacArthur.
McKenna had about 74%, I believe.
Ooh, I didn't see the results.
Yeah,
so.
she was up by a lot. So we had our Grant on the subject. Do you want to talk about our CHASS debate?
Ooh, we did.
last week. It was live streamed on this very podcast Twitter page, so
yes, if you didn't
check
see
that
it.
Out
quality
is not great
bad.
Shout out to my Samsung S8
that's Snapchat's
but
fault.
Nonetheless, the audio is not bad. Take a listen to it. I think all colleges should have something similar. I appreciate Travis doing something similar for
science
people.
Business did it.
I think
does theirs tomorrow.
I think senators should have more of a platform structured within US-USA elections to talk about their campaigns.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something we're working on right now. This year we tried a few things, podcast. Travis was new, mine was new. Business chooses to do theirs on Wednesday. Theirs will be tomorrow because it's usually a highly contested one rather than having six people. They like to have a one-on-one, which I can appreciate. McKenna and Caden, they're both, you know, I don't really want to take a take on this one, I'll be honest. This is my own race. These are the two vying to replace me. What are your thoughts? You've worked with both these people in function.
I worked with Caden on the GRC last year.
Has it done?
I've worked with McKenna on the GRC this year. I've gotten to know them pretty well. Both friends of mine. Cade and I go back a little further. I think they're both well qualified for the position. I have no doubt that either of them would do a good job. That being said, the results speak for themselves. McKenna, I think, is just simply more popular. And I think she has done a good job campaigning.
She's on Chess Council this year. Yeah. She's an ambassador. So she's in the advising office. So
she's definitely more well known within chess, for sure.
Right. Yeah. Sure. She just has a larger network. Yeah. That's not to say that Caden couldn't pull it through. The same thing happened. Well, not the results wise, but Jason German, my competitor last year for the same race, was an ambassador. He had a very large network. So
yeah,
it can go. It can. You anything never know. Can happen. Moving up to business. I'm going to say it live. I was hoping for Reese Jensen.
Same.
One of my buddies. He works here in student media. I've known him from President's Cabinet last year.
Aggie Blue Conference.
Aggie Blue. Yeah. Really, great kid. Really, really good guy. And I push him to run. I think he would have made a great one. He still has a lot going on. He works marketing for student media, and he will be plenty busy.
He'll be around.
But for sure. If you see him, give him a good
Courtney hug. Aller, I know, was one, great and the guy. Other one was Cameron Pitt, correct?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I don't honestly know too much. I know, I'll be honest, I'll say it again. Courtney Aller, I mean, we all know. She has a good network. She is the only female running of six.
Yeah.
She is quite attractive. So hot is take. He. I don't know. We've talked about this. Honestly, there's always
girlfriends are good.
There's always a contestable side that a lot of the most attractive candidates win.
Yeah.
And I think that has to be considered, especially with six candidates.
That's probably why I won 95% of the vote.
You don't run against anyone who still lost 5%. What?
I did, to be fair, I did have the most write-in votes against me out of any candidate, so.
Hashtag Clute can do it.
Hashtag.
That's what I voted.
Hashtag Clute can do it.
All right. Moving up to arts, this is one of the most interesting races of all of them.
Yeah.
Sierra Wise is the sitting senator.
This is very, very
interesting. She was the only one on the ballot. A man by the name of Nathan Scott, have never met him, pulled a successful write-in campaign to get on the final ballot.
20% of the vote.
The only one of this season. So to get on the final ballot, you had to get at least 10% and be in the top two. So he pulled at least 10%. You said 20?
Yeah, he got about 20.
And then, obviously, was in the top two. So, I'm just going to say about this. To be fair, 10% of the art vote is very low. I think he only needed 17 votes to pull 10%. So that means he arguably got 34. And that's based on last year's total vote numbers. I don't know if it's the same. Really, that's a class or two. They're different majors, so he's a different network. Pulling 35, 40 votes
isn't too hard,
especially if you're pushing it. So,
to be fair, I think it could make for a very interesting race.
Oh, for sure.
If you can pull 20% as a write-in candidate, and once you get on the ballot, I still think she'll win.
It's a very networked college. I'll say that. Very networked. Being on the ballot gives Nathan Scott a very fair chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm still going to say Sierra's going to take it.
Agreed.
So that's my opinion. And then we move over to Agriculture and Applied Sciences. There's only two for this race, Dexton Link and Connor Simmons. Do you know the percentages on that one at all?
I don't. I met Dexton Link the other day. He's a solid guy.
Dexton's really good. He ran against Heather last year and lost it. Funny story, he's now dating one of his other competitors, Cassidy Carnahan. She was one of the other people in that race. They're now dating.
Oh, so from last year, you mean?
From last year. Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's funny.
He lost in the primaries. She went forward to face Heather in the finals, but they're now dating.
I guess everyone ended up a winner.
Everyone's a winner. Cassidy's really cool. Dexton's really cool. Like you said, I've got to know him a little bit better this year. I think he's a really good guy. I don't know Connor. Seems like a nice kid. I think Dexton's going to take it, though. Graduate studies, Kristen Hall again.
Low-key race. No one knows anything about
it. Only one running. No one wanted to go up against her. That, from my understanding, graduate studies can either be like one or like six every year.
Really? It was just one last year, correct?
It was two last year. There was a race last year. The year before, I don't believe Ty faced anyone. The year before that, Ty, I think, faced someone the first year. It's hard to justify as a graduate student to throw one more thing on your thing. Moving forward, we've got Jackson Curtis and Jenna Stoker.
Did you see? I never saw the percentages on that. Did you see the percentages?
No.
Because that, I think that, next to diversity, which we'll talk about in a second, is probably the most hotly contested race. I've seen a lot of people, genocide, a lot of people on Jackson's side.
That was the one race I didn't vote for until literally last minute. I went back to my ballot and finished that one
interesting.
Out.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, I think both of them are... Neither one of them, I'll be honest, is not... Neither of them is as qualified as I would love to see.
Really? You don't think Jen is qualified enough?
I mean, I think in time-wise, I don't know. I don't know either of these candidates. I know both of them on a surface level. I think Jen is going to take it, but I think Jackson's got a good network, too.
Jackson has a great network.
So,
great network, absolutely.
Hard to say on that one. Clubs and organizations. We had Matt Minaga pull probably one of the most... I wouldn't be surprised if he got more votes as far as a write-in campaign. Pretty popular kid.
Right.
Didn't make
it. That's the main reason he got so many votes is because of his...
Well, yeah, well-networked, as right. we've called us other people.
My boy, so Josh Johnson.
Who was our other one? Who dropped from that one?
A Chasen Robbins also moved on. Jared Gein.
Jared Gein dropped. Eliminated. Yeah.
Got eliminated.
Which
I think was a surprise to a lot of people.
Yeah, he's pretty well connected. He's Greek as well.
Yeah.
But Chasen, he's well networked. I've known the kid for 2 years, and I honestly don't interact with him on anything. So if the fact that I do know him is pretty heavy. He goes out of his way to get to know
both people. Both Josh is also very well networked.
Very well networked.
Especially within the diversity community.
Very well. NSS. He's been a part of a lot of the dances, the pageants. He's Greek.
Big support within the Greek
diversity
community.
And access to diversity. Both sides of diversity, all sorts of categories.
He's got, so Josh won 39-27%. So, again, but like that,
it's hard to know.
It's hard to know where he is.
Right.
Where those other votes go. So, it's going to be a hard campaign for both of them the last couple days here.
Right. And then moving on to president.
This is the token discussion today. pretty shocking result. Tony Ahlstrom was eliminated from the presidential race.
Well-connected, a lot of friends.
On President's Cabinet, connections with Michael Scott Peters.
Member of Fiji,
Fiji,
while it is a new Greek organization, has been very involved this year.
Definitely. So a lot of publicity with Fiji this year.
President's cabinet director. He's well connected, knows a lot of people. Got eliminated. Anyways, so we've still got Braden O'Brien. I think we can give him a full endorsement on this show.
Yeah, the Sagebrush Shit Show fully endorses Braden O'Brien, if that means anything to him. Probably not. But
probably not.
He came on here and roasted both of us a couple weeks ago, so that's okay.
But
so that shows you how much we want him to win if we still
We still love him to death. Yeah. Braden has been the director of the Government Relations Council, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago. He has been quite involved. He's the president of Sigma Phi Epsilon, SIGEP.
That's correct.
Sam's organization here. What else can we throw behind Braden's name?
He is a Huntsman Scholar. He's got a great network within the School of Business. He was a writer for The Statesman a couple of years ago, his freshman year.
That's right.
There's some great pieces, especially regarding US-USA from him.
Yeah.
2 years ago. He's also he doesn't do it anymore. He formerly was on the USU debate team.
That's right.
He's won quite a few debates.
Business ethics.
Very well spoken. I encourage everyone to watch the president's town hall last night, the Greek town hall.
That was live as well.
It was live as well. He did an excellent job. Several people came up to him afterwards, told him how blown away they were. But I think this is Jaron. Got 1,100 votes. Braden had around 600.
Jaron had the highest number of votes.
That's very shocking.
It's not just surprising that Tony got dropped. That was surprising, but it was also surprising the fat percentage that Jaron pulled. Right. Jaron's popular. He has a pretty good network. Sam and I have kind of both said we don't really feel like we're in his network, but
he has
a large one. He's not well known.
The reason we're not is he hasn't been involved in any organization or any club.
Which, to be fair, Michael Scott was kind of the outlier last year as far as amount of involvement compared to Sawyer and Rachel. So that's not completely surprising. And this could be a similar situation. I don't want to put it on Braden, but Michael Scott Peters had a fat percentage over Rachel and Sawyer last year. We could easily see a similar situation this year. If Tony decides to give Braden his endorsement,
that could change some things.
That could change some things. Basically, Braden needs every vote Tony got. Yeah, I think that's all I have to say on that.
Yeah, I
hashtag
like I said,
Braden O'Brien.
Hashtag Braden O'Brien for president.
Most experienced by far.
By far the most experienced, by far the most qualified. And if you're looking for someone, I mean, I've seen it firsthand. He's been director of the GRC, like truly cares about student issues. And I can guarantee you he's by far your best advocate as USUSA president next year. I think Grant would agree with me.
100%. On that, so. Braden's got my full endorsement. And that leads us to another topic. On a more general sense, the total vote count was like close to 60% of what last year's was.
Really?
Really low, yeah.
Did not
last year we had almost 4,000 in both the primary and the finals.
Interesting.
Arguably that was because the president's race was way hotter last year. True. As hot as this one is, last year's
blew it out of the
hands
water,
down, yeah. Last year, both Rachel and Sawyer pulled almost 1,000 votes, and Michael had well over 2,000. So, you know, we're talking about 4,000 votes this year. It's just over 2. I can't give an exact number because I haven't looked at the numbers. They keep pulling them down and stuff. I think it's like 2,300 or something like that.
For my campaign, I got around 2,100 votes.
Yeah, so that's about what we're looking at.
There were like 80 write-ins or something.
Yeah, so we're sitting in the 2 to 2,500, yeah. Definitely lower. Like I said, part of that might be that. Different year, different students. So many factors can go into that. But just a really low turnout for primaries comparatively.
Yeah.
So saying that, anybody who's down right now could be up if they can
get a lot of votes out there. A lot of votes out there.
There's 17,000 students on this campus, especially for the executive council positions that are elected by the entire university. No one should think they are down and unable to do it.
Right.
Even within the colleges, no one pulls even like 25% of the vote. So there are so many votes to be had in the next 2 days. We'll just see if anyone can pull it together. A lot of uncontested positions this year. You're in one of them.
Absolutely.
How do you feel about that? Obviously, you're a little biased. You're one of them. But how do you feel that speaks to the whole process, the organization, etc.?
I think to a certain extent it is disappointing that there are so many uncontested positions. And I think – I'm trying to think the best way to say this. I think that a lot of that stems from just students not knowing about what the USUSA does, right?
I think
there are a lot of students on campus – that if they knew, from speaking from my position, if they knew what the Government Relations Council did and the issues that we're going to try to tackle next year, like zoning laws, heavily affect students, and we can make real change happen on campus. Another example, CAPS fee last year, adding money to the Utah System of Higher Education's budget this year, advocating for that. So these are real tangible things that can have a real effect on students. And I think there's like a barrier, I feel like, that we have to break as student leaders on campus. We just haven't been able to do that yet. It's difficult because there's just a lot of apathy. Like, I've been standing at people's A-frames all week, you know, head down, headphones in, just not willing to participate, not willing to listen. Which, like, I mean, you have the freedom to do whatever you want, but it's disappointing. However, at the same time, it also shows that we have a lot of work to do as members.
Yeah, calling you on your shit. How are people going to know next year the Government Relations Council exists?
Right.
What are you going
to
do?
Precisely. I think, so, to pull from my platform a little bit here.
As the clear winner, what are you doing, man?
So, on the GRC, we've kind of had the same group of people kind of demographic that have been on the GRC. It's not necessarily a bad thing. We have people who are involved, people from CHAS, people from the business school, and you can kind of see this trend happen all over campus in terms of councils and whatnot.
Right.
It's usually those two schools that pull the most. So what I want to do is I want to have an open mind when we have people apply for my council, and I truly want to bring people from non-traditional backgrounds and perspectives onto the council, Because it's one thing to meet with people and make them feel like their voice is heard. It's another thing.
Heard this one before.
You're gonna see it happen, Grant. You're gonna see it happen. We're gonna have him on the council next year.
You're gonna have him on the show, right?
Have him on the show. Grant, what do you? If you were in my position, give me an example of something that you would do to increase. If you're yawning at my answer, I'd like to hear your opinion.
All right, call me back. So obviously you have a different position than Bridget had because you will be in an election year.
Right.
So you will have voting. Of course, you are in a midterm, which isn't the same as two years ago. We were both part of that campaign for votes as well. So you have a little bit lower turnout. Trump was obviously controversial, got a lot of people out registering. So you're gonna naturally have a little bit more public presence on your making sure we get our campus cup back.
Well, that's a guarantee. You might as well just.
But I would say my biggest thing is a lot of people don't know your organization exists, and you're never gonna have 100%. You're never gonna have 50%, right?
Right.
But part of that, you know, in my opinion, this is something I've started coming to the realization of. There are a good amount of students who never come in the student center.
Yeah.
So when you only promote things here, when events are always hosted here, people like engineers, science, arts. I'm only calling these out because of location and even education.
Yeah.
Depending on what your major is, you never go in the student center.
Yeah.
If you are just focused on your degree, you go to your corner of campus. Engineering has one. Arts has one. Education has one. Science is kind of in between the two.
Yeah.
CHASS, like you said, CHASS and business, we're already more well networked as part of our degrees. We study humans. They study networking. It's definitely just part of our two degrees a little bit more. Ag is pretty spread out throughout the state, throughout the city, throughout the college. They are a large college. They're a little bit more networked, kind of like education as well. Natural resources, it's its own little network. They're politically involved because a lot of, like Sossner, they have a lot of political need behind it, but... How many fraternity members are natural resources? How many fraternity members are engineers? How many fraternity members are arts?
Well, I know one fraternity member in engineering, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, I do too, and I know we have a couple in arts in my fraternity. I'm just saying they're lesser.
Right.
There's definitely a majority.
I don't know, but I think the most frustrating thing I hear with people's platforms say, I want to have more publicity. Something
and I want to be more transparent.
I want to be more and so I don't think people really know what that means, and they don't have any plan whatsoever to make that happen. So I honestly believe that building personal relationships with people, like you said, from different areas of campus is absolutely essential. So I think, like I said, hopefully Josh wins. I want to build a strong relationship between the diversity community and GRC. I think those two can go hand in hand in terms of student advocacy, because a lot of those people in the diversity community are never involved with the GRC whatsoever. I mean, if you look at the current composition of the GRC, I mean, to be completely honest, we've got a lot of white folk.
GRC. Right.
Always have. Hopefully, you
say the same thing on Greek. Like, Greek is so white.
You can say that about a lot of groups. Lot of groups.
And we have a fairly not. I mean, it's not mass. Obviously, we have a mostly white university, but we have way more diverse and well represented minorities on this campus than is even close to represented on any student organization. Right?
Yeah.
And some of that's there's other causes there, right? Like, the majority of our international students are engineers.
Right.
Our grad students are. In certain programs in the university,
right.
A lot of them are professional programs that are labor intensive, and that's why. Same thing we just talked about, how there's not very many engineers.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. There's also other organizations that a lot of international multicultural students are part of that aren't part of the ones we're talking about right now. Access Diversity, Diversity, there are other organizations. I mean, you're part of BSU, but there's other organizations that some of these people are a part of that aren't just necessarily the same networks we're talking about.
I think to go back to your original question on how we increase publicity for things like the Government Relations Council, and just for USA in general, and why we have so many unopposed positions. I think just having a flyer in the arts building, or having a flyer in the BNR, it doesn't do anything. People don't care about a flyer, right?
So what kind of promotion do we move to? Tabling? They do some of that? Digital? Social media?
Those are all good steps, but like I said, it's all about, to throw back to the business college, right? It's all about networking, and you have to network not only to get elected, but when you are elected in your position. If you want to be successful, you have to know how to network.
But that's like the domino effect, right? Like,
right.
The more people we get in engineering to be a part of Greek life or about a part of USUSA, the more we have a network there, the more people we can get.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And so I think, I think if the Government Relations Council built a relationship with an organization like the Black Student Union, I think you'd see a domino effect that moves to the Latinx Student Union and then also Native American Student Council.
But do you see it for 1 year, though? That's the question.
Right, I think that's the problem. I think
BSU. It wouldn't be that hard for you to get other members of BSU to apply to your GRC.
Right.
But do they do that in the future?
Right. It has to. It's hard to say in the future what's going to happen, but it has to start somewhere.
Right.
And right now, nothing. That network just does not exist. We have the same 1% of student population that is involved with something like the Government Relations Council, or is even remotely interested in doing something like that.
Right. No, right. I've said before, I have this sentiment, and I can't prove this, so
okay,
it's hearsay, but that of the 17,000 students on Utah State's campus, all student organizations are made up with the same 1,000 to 1,500 students. I'm a part of
I'd agree
two or three. Last year, it was closer to five or six. You're part of multiple this year.
Right.
There's a lot of crossover, which is
between PCAB and GRC and...
Yep. A lot of people that are on GRC and are also councils, PCAB or on the college council.
Right.
Or diversity. Or, there seems to be the same two or three that people are networked. A lot of the people on my council are also on GRC with you. A lot of them are on President's Cabinet as well. It's hard. It's hard because when I go to form my council, for example, when I did, it's like, well, it's nice to have an RA.
Right.
On my council. It's nice to have someone who's on GRC. It's nice to have someone. And so part of it is kicking that can down the road, right? And getting to have it year after year. Michael Scott Peters formed a fairly – I'm going to take this back. Michael Scott did this, but President's Cabinet tends to be less experienced people.
Right. A lot of freshmen.
A lot of sophomore support. Most people who are officers in other positions have been on President's Cabinet at some point early on in their college career. It's kind of it's a good starting point.
Absolutely.
Part of that is that the president's position holds Aggie Blue every year.
Yeah.
They set aside 25% of their positions for freshmen. So part of it's by design, but just the way it's structured, a lot of them are freshmen, right? I don't know. USUSA is an interesting thing, guys, to be honest. If you're listening to this podcast, you already pretty much know all about the USUSA.
What we're saying is probably just all hot air right now.
But
you have your opinions formed, but that's okay.
But please, if you have any varied opinions from what we've said today, let us know. Of course, vote.usu.edu. Get out there. Please, 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 please. We're going to publish this tonight. If you listen to this before Thursday at 8 o'clock, please share this podcast somewhere.
Yeah.
I really do think it can help. All right, let's move over. We lost our basketball game. USU sports aren't doing anything too phenomenal.
Well, I actually...
Wait, did we talk about Josh Bannon?
We didn't.
Did I not put that on the tweet?
Yes, did you not?
Maybe I didn't put that on there.
How did we miss? That's the closest race.
I don't know. All right.
You did not put that on there.
Last thing to talk about.
Athletics VP.
Athletics VP.
Juicy stuff.
Athletics VP. Bannon Greer pulled ahead.
50-47%. Very, very close race.
What is it again?
50-47, I believe, is what I saw.
Ooh, I didn't realize it was that close. So, yes, close. a very close race. Very close race. Obviously, again, you're a little biased on this one.
Yeah, extremely so, but that's okay.
Another member of SIGEP. We've got six this year in total running. None of them have been eliminated. Is that right?
Nope, all made it to the final ballot. Yeah.
So everyone's made it. Yours is there. Mine's with Josh Segovia. Red, white, and Aggie blue.
Fear the Greer.
They've both presented pretty well last night in the Greek Town Hall. Yeah. I guess the most obvious separation here is Bannon is Greek. Bannon is a student athlete.
Two very different backgrounds.
TBH, let's be honest, he's going to quit it.
I wonder where you got that information from.
I don't know. Maybe everyone's talking about it. His kind of, in my opinion, his platform is just he's going to do a better job at connecting student athletes as a whole with students, and he's going to use some of that network to hopefully bridge that gap, bring that to the herd, bring that to the students, hopefully bring some stuff for student events. Josh is maybe the more traditional candidate, if you will.
Absolutely.
He has been the herd president, similar to Jacob Ambule's position and Blake before him. That is a very traditional situation for that position. He has worked heavily with the herd and will be doing a lot. And so that's my opinion. That's why I'm with Josh. It's not just that, you know, I've got to know him in the last few weeks. It's not like I've been good friends with Josh all year. I really haven't. The position in reality has a lot more control over the herd and a lot. He's got sack experience, but you know what? That's not where all of the where the position itself has power to change things. Yeah, he'll probably get some cool things done if Bannon makes it. I just think that experience with the herd is the experience I'm looking for. Not to say that Bannon doesn't have experience. It's just, to me, not as relevant.
I would disagree. I think either of them would make an excellent athletics VP. Like you said, Josh has a ton of experience with the herd. He'd know what he was doing. But I think it'd just be more of the same. We just see the same things done. And I think a lot of those things could be fairly easily replicated, if I'm being honest with you. I think, like you said, maybe Bannon has overstated this. It's hard to really know what will happen. I think building personal relationships with athletes is something.
I just don't believe that he honestly has as good of a network. There's so many student athletes and so many different sports.
I think he does.
It's clicky, and I think there's something deeper than knowing these athletes. There's other reasons that they're not involved with USUSA already.
Right.
That they're not coming to these
things. But I think
they're freaking busy.
But this is
they have other commitments.
This is our best
shot.
Same
reason.
Though.
There's very few student athletes.
Bannon
in
is
Greek,
the first. Is the first. The first, USU athlete to join a Greek organization.
Not
probably
ever.
Quite some time. Not ever. Of course not ever.
Part of that. Wait,
very,
part of
a
that.
A very rare
to be
instance.
To be fair, that's not all instance. His credit. That is impressive. I was surprised when I heard that he was both a student athlete and in the organization. To be honest, and this is low-key, and I'm calling John Hartwell out for this and anyone else part of this program, they have been actively told not to join the
absolutely.
Organization.
100%, yeah.
And that's bullshit.
Sure.
Straight up. Like,
agreed.
Greek has so much to do. I understand in the past years, Greek has had some negative situations, especially with sexual assault. They've already got Torrey Greene. They've already got their own issues. I can see why some of these coaches do their best to eliminate it. Part of it is time commitment. Even people like Lexi Howe, she was a Kappa Delta.
Right.
She was a cheerleader. She had so much time spent cheerleading. She pretty much dropped from KD. Some people don't like her for it. But you know what? These people are heavily involved. It's kind of like USUSA. I think USUSA is a little bit closer. Eric and I have talked about this. Realistically, most of both of our Greek organizations kind of give us the free card. If we're doing stuff for USUSA, we're good. Student athletes, they're busy a lot.
Yeah,
it's hard to justify paying money to be part of Greek
for sure
when you can't beat everything.
Yeah.
But I would love to see that changed. I would love to see Braden O'Brien as president and maybe get some words.
You and me both,
athletics.
Pal. You and me both.
Maybe Bannon could hope. Bridge that gap. If Bannon, if you win, calling you on your shit right now, you better do that. You better help to eliminate that mentality within the athletics
program.
With Greek especially,
absolutely.
But even with joining other organizations. They should be parts of clubs. I understand that they're busy.
It's important. It's important to call Josh out on his shit too. I think if he wins,
call him out.
Like you said in Greek Town Hall last night, he got called out for it last night as well, when he tried to brag about our Greek tailgate at the Wayne Estes Center. And I don't remember who it was. Someone got up and was like, that event was horrible. And I think it's one that every year we always, and Grant, you know this just as well as I do, people always get up and talk about how much respect and admiration they have for the Greek community, how they want to get Greeks more involved. So if Josh is elected, I hope to actually see that, and it's not just to get votes.
Right. No, I agree. All right. Now we're cutting it off with USUSA. We're going to get straight over.
Spend quite a bit of time.
Real government. What would you say the most important bills are? There's one. I just retweeted it out, so you might have already seen it. My apologies. But there's a bill that would allow you to drive through a red light.
I heard about this. I've heard about this.
No one else is at it. This is important for freaking rural areas, places that have timed lights that you get put at a red for no reason. It's 2 a.m. and you're sitting at a red. Yeah. We can already obviously do this for a right turn.
Right.
At 99% of them, unless they're clearly marked. But this would allow a left or a straight through.
I think it's dangerous, man. It's dangerous. Like you said, it would be great in rural areas when there's no one driving in the middle of the night.
Wonderful. My problem with this is I think we've all contemplated doing it if we haven't actually ran the red light. However,
nudge,
this
wink,
opens
wink
up a weird gray area for traffic laws, where this is a pretty clear area right
100%,
now. Right turns
red,
make the
you
most
just
sense.
Don't go on red, right?
Right, unless it's right turn, and that's a very clear, safer mark.
Yeah,
we'll be interesting to see. I don't think it will pass.
I think
if Fraternal Order of Police will come out, I think you'll see safety numbers that come out.
I think it's a little scary, especially like on a college campus. We have students that are out late at night on weekends, and the roads are empty. We have people who are intoxicated who walk across the street. Maybe you can't see them during a red light. It says walk, but it's red. I think there are too many factors for that to be real. Grant, did you hear about changing gears a little bit?
Yep, go for it.
Come back to the state legislature in a second. But China getting rid of term limits for their...
It's not official yet, but it is controversial as fuck. And I mean, surprise, China's still communist. What? China's still an autocracy. What?
Right.
I mean, yeah, we've had a few changes a few years of moderation. I think one of the more interesting things is that this move is definitely autocratic, and it calls into question what other laws could change for the same light. For example, there was a time in China where capitalism, and by that I just mean private interest, private business, things going in and out of the country, were fairly limited. It's only been in the last 20 years where those have got loosened up that we've started manufacturing everything in China, and there's been so much open commerce with China. Right now, arguably, they're a communist state that is being subsidized by the rest of the world's private markets. So. If that changes, if they move towards pure capitalism, that could change. The other thing you come up with autocratic governments is you get more of a possibility of unrest. If people think that they can just wait out your term limit, sometimes they will. They'll just hope that they can get rid of you the next time around.
Yeah.
If they think that you are just holding your seat indefinitely, the chance of a Tiananmen Square type protest, you know, unrest is way higher. I don't know if it'll happen. It's very possible.
If it does, I think it's a big deal. I think it's a huge deal.
Huge.
One of the rising
populous nation in the world.
One of the a rising power in the world still.
For sure. Nuclear power.
Absolutely. So I think this could have some serious repercussions. The domino theory, I guess, doesn't really hold up, but I think it could have some serious repercussions for just East Asia in general. Absolutely. What else do we have on your docket for?
We've got a few different things. Automatic voter registration is passed the Senate. Second reading, it's probably going to happen.
Yeah, that's
awesome. It is a state bill. It could still get pushed out in the House. A bill requiring sexual harassment training for lobbyists has passed. The Bruvies rule. I don't know if you remember hearing about that. So Bruvies is a movie theater in Salt Lake City that serves beer with a movie, hence Brewies. And they got fined a couple years ago for showing a rated R movie that had nudity. They just dealt with it and paid the $10,000 fine. Well, last year or the year before, they showed Deadpool.
Right.
And served beer and everything. Well, there's a Utah statute that says anything obscene cannot be paired with alcohol. And I don't know all the rules. There's strip clubs in Salt Lake to do. So I don't know all the specific semantics. But essentially, they got a $10,000 fine. Well, Ryan Reynolds heard about it, and the director of Deadpool heard about it, and they threw a shiz ton of money behind a lawsuit to sue the state. They won. A federal court ruled in their favor. And now the legislature is basically rewriting the law so that this won't – basically, it's a legislative response to a judicial ruling that's already happened. Utah State is actually really good at that. Anytime a federal ruling comes down – this happened with gay marriage as well.
Yeah.
Whether or not the legislature would have passed it in the past, they'll just clean up the law to match the judicial ruling, which I think is honorable.
Did you hear about the Abortion Non-Discrimination Act that was passed?
I did. For Down syndrome?
For Down syndrome, correct. Very controversial.
Very controversial.
Don't want to delve into abortion here, but I think...
Yeah, and it's interesting. My nephew's Down syndrome... I've heard this argument before. I don't know. I think it's wrong for people to make that the grounds of an abortion.
Yeah.
It's hard
to see. But the libertarian side of you is potentially screaming otherwise.
I'm pretty anti-abortion.
Yeah.
Okay. I just think that this is a weird gray area for Democrats to bend on. And, you know, I'm going to say this and it sounds horrible, but... some of these things will be interesting to come into play when things like CRISPR take larger sense. When we get into genetic engineering, Down syndrome is a very easy marker to see early on. Mm-hmm. We knew my nephew would have the diagnosis before he was born. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't think I'll be surprised to see this pass by any standard, but it will be controversial on a nationwide scale. I guarantee it. You'll have people freaking out. If it does pass. And I'd be interesting, I don't know, maybe you can answer this. Is there any Democrats that have supported it?
I don't know for a fact. I mean, it doesn't really matter whether they did or not. I mean, it's...
Right, but I'm just wondering, I guess, what the Utah...
I'll look into it. I just heard that it passed. I hadn't looked into the exact vote total. But I think... it's a bill that I don't think has gotten a ton of attention. Just because I think, because of the title of the bill, sounds somewhat neutral,
right?
Abortion Non-Discrimination Act, but then you look at the main preface of it, and it's banning abortions because of Down syndrome. That's a controversial issue.
It is.
So we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see the outcry about it. But
all right. So moving forward to a couple other things, there is a bill facing the. Answering a lot of the weird questions with last year's alcohol bill. If you haven't heard, that "this is a restaurant, not a bar" signs will be coming down this year.
I've heard that. But the "this is a bar" signs will
stay
be
up.
Yeah.
But instead of just being stupid, like "this is a bar, not a restaurant," they'll actually include a little bit more writing, like "you can't be under 21. I think, honestly, even though it sounds weird, more writing on that sign will actually clear up how stupid it looks. Because it won't just be this declarative statement. It'll basically say, like, just so you know, this is a bar, and here's what that means in our state. But, yeah, they also created a more clear arena license for Vivint Arena, for probably the Bees Stadium, Smith Stadium, you know, all those. The Zion Curtain, which was replaced by a Zion Moat. They're now calling it a Zion DMZ.
Zion I've heard that one, too.
They've loosened it up a little bit so that if you're a smaller restaurant, you can – you know, kind of get around this. I think that's a pretty big one. There was a lot of outcry about the restaurant signs. Interestingly, the legislature is not taking up Low Point beer this year. That's a big deal because Anheuser-Busch, one of the largest manufacturers of beer in the country, has came out and said that at least the majority of their brand, well, they just said some brands will not be available in Low Point markets. What that basically means, in my view, is all of their specialty beers are gone. You're going to have Bud Light and Budweiser, period.
Yeah.
Maybe a handful of others, but basically anything else on the market is going to disappear. Not to say that those won't be available in liquor stores. The Full Point beer will be available just like in any other market. But they're one of the largest manufacturers that have been complying with low point. Most craft breweries, most other places don't comply with this already. So this could be a big deal. Utah is one of the last states with low point after Oklahoma got rid of it a couple years ago. Okay. Oklahoma, when they did have low point, like we did, they made up over 50% of all low points sold in the U.S. Utah was one of like five other states that made up the rest of the 50%. So when Oklahoma got out of the market, that's why all these, like, they're the deciders. That's what's actually changed all these manufacturers. Basically, the legislature has said, we're going to deal with this next year. Anheuser-Busch has said that they'll deal with this basically October. The fiscal year is when they're going to switch, pull these things. So essentially, you'll have this 3 or 4 month period next year where either people freak out enough that the legislature will do something about it, or people won't. And I think that's what the legislature, in my opinion, is waiting to see. If people freak out, they'll deal with it. Here's the thing, guys. The legislature doesn't mind you having to go into the state liquor store to buy this. They get 100% of the profits. In my opinion, the legislature will have no problem. They would rather build 10 more liquor stores than just loosen up the laws.
Yeah.
Because there is a significant amount of high point beer still purchased in Utah, only in liquor stores. And what people don't realize, it's not just about them not, it's not that they don't want it in convenience stores. It's that all this high point beer will come off the shelves in their store once it's available.
It's about lining the pockets, lining those pockets, man.
To be fair, all DABC money, it pays for itself and pays for education. Yeah. None of that money gets to other places. So alcohol sales have steadily increased for the last 15, 20 years in Utah. And all that's going to education, you know, it's an interesting argument, right? But that's a pretty controversial one. Death penalty repeal. This is a big one.
This is a big one.
We talked about it a little bit last week.
Yeah, Governor Herbert this week's kind of loosely
said he would
mention that he might sign it
if it was passed.
If it was passed, don't know if it will or not. Hard to say. There've been some pretty. It's been surprising that Republicans have. Getting behind it. It's a very libertarian stance to take, progressive in some ways.
Right.
But yeah, we'll see. I don't think it'll happen this session, to be completely honest with you, just because we're getting so late in the session. And they're so, I mean, they're way behind on, because there's just there's so many bills.
So many. We're actually
tonight they'll be on the floor until 10 p.m.
Right.
Tonight.
I was going to say that. Tonight begins the late night legislature, what they call it. We have a 45-day legislature. We've talked about this in the past. We're in the last week and a half.
I think the last week is next week for spring break.
Yeah, so we're coming in on the final stretch. Yeah. They'll probably be on the floor on Saturday, at least for part of the day. They'll probably call it for the weekend, Sunday, and be in Monday morning. And then they'll probably – I think they go until, like, Friday at midnight or Saturday at midnight next week. It's a pretty big deal. This is where we start to see the stuff that hasn't had a lot of support – gets just thrown out.
Yeah.
It just ends up in the pile on the floor. To me, they should have already passed a lot more bills to where before we got to where we are right now, but it hasn't happened, so we'll see. But anyways, this is where we start to see it. By next week, we'll have a lot more bills passed to talk about. Spring break, you won't hear about it. By the time we record our next show, though, this session will be over. So we will know exactly what has passed and what intentionally or unintentionally died.
Grant and I may have a little mid-spring break surprise for you guys.
Ooh,
we'll see.
I forgot about this.
Yeah, don't. We're not going to give any details.
No details.
Just stay on Twitter. See what happens. But shout out to those interns at Salt Lake staying those late nights.
Yeah.
At Matthew, Clint Bisbee, Katie Miner, etc. Shelby Taylor, all you guys.
So if you don't know, our IOGP interns that are down there right now, this week and a half, 2 weeks will be hell for them.
If it hasn't been already the best.
Interesting, though, they're done after this. So they pretty much, everyone else goes on spring break. They don't, which sucks for them because it's the last week of legislature. But
they have
then they're
the next
done.
2 months plus summer.
That's all their 12 credits, 15 credits, whatever
it
is.
I think it's 12.
So they're done with their semester after spring break. So they pretty much
don't feel too
it's
bad.
Pretty much a 7 week. Like class like they do in business college and some of the other ones. But this will be – so shout out to them. Hopefully they're listening. Probably not this week, but if you ever do listen, we love you. We get the late nights. I tweeted out to a reporter. I asked him, you know, is there anything that Governor Herbert has indicated that he will veto as of right now? He said no, there's nothing obvious right now. But that's not surprising. Most of that legislation is the hot stuff, and most of that stuff doesn't get decided till the last moment in the legislature. So there's always that chance. But here we are. Let's move on to guns. This is a big one. Trump has came out and said that he's open to a few different things.
There have been some interesting developments.
Very interesting developments. The NRA and Trump have supported bigger, more intensive background checks. Interestingly, though, Congress has not moved forward with it very much, even though they've got arguably the two heaviest.
Did Trump not get booed at CPAC?
I don't know.
Saying he supported background checks? I feel like I heard this.
I don't remember.
Interesting.
Trump's end, he'd be an idiot not to. He needs to do something, and so he's going to do it. I'm sure he coordinated with the NRA on that.
I do believe the Florida Republican Party has come out against saying that they're open to looking into new
Florida is assault weapons bans. Rubio
got
had
destroyed.
A hell of a town hall.
Absolutely. Honestly, props to him for going.
Yeah, a lot of people were proud of him.
It was in a heavily, heavily Democratic county. He was on the hot seat next to.
Basically, he walked into it knowing that he was just going to get yelled at for 2 hours.
And like this, I mean, his reelection chances took a hit.
For sure.
This town hall. Bill Nelson, who is a Democratic senator from Florida, got a huge boost in popularity in Florida after this town hall.
Rubio's already pretty moderate. I wouldn't be surprised to see if he becomes even more moderate in the next election.
Yeah, so it's on fake news CNN, fake news network, with the Democratic Congress and Senator, Democratic crowd. So hostile environment. I encourage everyone to go watch it. It's actually pretty interesting. Interesting political times in Florida. Rick Scott, who's term limited right now for governor, governor's race in Florida coming up. He's on the hot seat big time. A lot of people, there are crowds.
It's a big deal.
There are crowds outside the state capitol in Tallahassee saying, shame on you for not doing anything. Shame on you.
Right. And so Florida is the one that's taking the most. A bunch of teenagers are now verified Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
They are going
millions
hard,
of followers now. Yeah.
Hard. This is probably the first time, honestly, that survivors have mattered. I know that sounds horrible to say out loud, but
politically,
this group, for whatever reason, maybe it was just how fast they reacted, maybe it's their age.
Well, in terms of
traditionally, we have the parents come out, make statements. We have survivors come out, make statements, and then a week or two later,
in terms of trends, this has been really. I've been following this a lot on like 538 and some other kind of data-driven websites, and just in terms of like searches for like gun control. Just guns in general have remained consistent over the past 2 weeks, where in terms of other big shootings, they die out after a few days. So this has been, a bit of a bigger deal than a lot of other shootings. So we'll see how long this momentum lasts.
Right.
And if this continues to blow up,
I think you're gonna have something. Utah legislature, even though it didn't happen in Utah, is bringing up a bill. This is definitely Republican reform. Or Republicans' take to tighter gun control. They are talking about basically confiscation of weapons if you are found to have any mental illness. And what it allows is a temporary skip of due process. We've talked a little bit about this in the past. They'd be able to seize weapons and then go through due process for you to get them back rather than having to go through a full due process of a court system to take them away from you. But that's in Utah. On the federal side, there's been a lot of support for one. We'll see if it happens. Again, we still have a Republican-held thing. I think the Supreme Court would back anything if you see anything crazy.
The NRA has taken a big hit, especially on the business side. A lot of companies have cut ties with the NRA.
Tons
of companies. Delta, United Airlines. For whatever reason, there were basically every car rental company that exists has some sort of tie with the NRA,
which is weird. And almost every airline.
And almost every airline, but those are all gone now.
Everyone's pulled.
That's interesting because that's really, that's where you can hit the NRA the hardest is their pockets. Interesting developments, but. We'll see, especially with the midterms, we'll see how hot of a topic the gun debate is. It wasn't a huge topic in 2016, But without a doubt, I think it will be kind of driving the conversation this election cycle for sure.
All right. So I think we're going to about call it. The last few things. State legislature, we've got a $1 billion tax bond. This is the biggest one ever in history. A lot of money is being handed out at this point. The Utah GOP recently came out with a controversial change that would not allow candidates to gather signatures to be on the ballot. You have to go through their process. This is highly controversial. The state legislature has already talked to this with SB 54. Governor Herbert has already signed this. There are candidates in the national election that will be affected. There are people. It's going to go to court. I guarantee it.
The grand old party.
Even, you know, you're talking the governor, the Speaker of the House for the state, the Romney. I mean, basically every prominent Republican right now is against what the Utah GOP did.
Yeah.
But the GOP leadership is different. Hey, wait, let me be clear. Even the chairman is against this. So this is a specific committee within the Utah party that's made this decision. It'll probably go to court. It's pretty controversial. Something to watch out for. I don't know. Is there anything else? Like I said, look out. Bills are going to be going crazy. Sam and I will both. It's midterms, so no promises. But we'll both try to maybe follow legislative news this week and just follow it on Twitter, be retweeting things out as they come. Honestly, I could read the bills. Every topic you imagine has been going on. I don't know. I'm going to call it. We're almost on an hour. This is one of our longer episodes. Thanks for coming by, listening.
Make sure to
spent
vote, 35
y'all. 35 minutes on that. Vote.usu.edu.
Vote for Braden.
Please, 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 please share this with your friends. I know that would be true with any episode, but this one especially. As always, you can find us on aggieradio.com. You can also find us anywhere you listen to your podcast, Overcast, Podbean, iTunes. If you haven't listened to any of those, give it a try. Some of those services are pretty rad. You can find us on Twitter at Sagebrush Show. You can find Sam at Sam Ann Jackson, myself at Z Grant Bess. We'll come back to you. Wait for the surprise next week. Thanks. Bye.